I can help.
Arizondi, were you bothered? You know, Canelo seemed to go very hard to your body. Were you bothered by his body shots at all?
No, en un momento sí, tiró golpe el cuerpo, pero en ningún momento lo afectó. Y nada, solamente hubo una herida que no sabe cómo fue, pero ya nada.
He says, no, the body shots, nothing hurt, and then he didn't land no head shots. One thing I will say, what amazes me is Levi Martinez had a Campillo beating Shumanoff in the same exact type of style fight, 117-111. And tonight, it's the other way around. How does that make sense? How does it make sense?
1, 2, 1, 2. All right, Cypher Boxing back in the area. 1630 AM, K-Chung Radio, Chinatown, Los Angeles.
Cypher Boxing.
How you doing today, Obi?
Doing all right, buddy. Doing all right, brother.
It's Sunday.
What's going on?
It's Sunday. Every other Sunday, you will hear our two voices telling you about the ins and outs of boxing and what's been going on. Today, we lead off with a very, very sad, very, very mad Arizlandi Lara after his big title fight, split decision loss to the man, Canelo Alvarez, also known as Cinnamon, also known as Golden Boy's Golden Boy.
Saul.
Also known as the triumphant one. After his fight went to the cards, and what many people feel was a very controversial win, Obi, I ask you, how did you have it?
Hey, you know what? Two weeks ago, when we went ahead and we chose boxers, basically by default. I had to choose Canelo. But clearly, just from watching the fight, I watched the fight a couple different times, and clearly I had Arizlandi Lara winning the fight.
It was pretty easy.
Yeah. Now, if you want to talk about this recklessly, chaotically, you want to talk about two people stepping to the ring and just punching and going at it. I can go ahead and I can give make a phone call to any one of my nieces right now, and we can talk about getting in and actually throwing windmill shots and seeing if he can land something against Canelo. You can't fight like that against Canelo. You have to come in there, you have to fight very diligently. You have to have a strong plan. You have to think about what you're doing intelligently, and a lot of this stuff has to be programmed in so that when you get to the fight, you know exactly what you want to do. You feel and you know exactly what you need to do. And I think that Arizlandi Lara, he went ahead and he executed a very intelligent game plan.
He had Canelo missing wildly the whole fight. He had ring generalship. He had the more accurate stinging punches. He appeared to be the more fluid fighter. He appeared to be the one fighting at his own rhythm, setting the pace. When you create a checklist on what you want the winning fighter to do, it appeared Lara was the one that checked off more boxes on his checklist.
Definitely.
Than Canelo. I've watched the fight a couple of times, and it was a close fight. In some ways, it was obvious that Lara won, but as you know, in this day and age, the A side's Canelo. Canelo's Golden Boy's biggest prospect. If you're gonna go to a fighter and you get that kind of opportunity, nobody had Lara on the map. Nobody felt Lara should be Canelo's next fight. Lara talked himself into this fight using social media, dramatics, pushing up on Canelo at the press conference at the end of the Angulo fight, placing him in Canelo's sights by just annoying Canelo, and Canelo being the guy that he is, who's showing himself to be the one that's going to fight the fights the fans want. Right. He's going to take on the guys that call him out. He gave Lara this once-in-a-lifetime chance to take out the guy that's the guy. So Lara comes in, and that's, to me, those are all things working in Canelo's favor. These are all things that are already in his favor before the fight even starts. And I think while Canelo was outclassed, I think a lot goes into the point being that he was trying to make a fight. And I think he got the benefit of the doubt from just trying to make the fight. And there's a difference between hitting and not being hit.
Right.
Using defense in an offensive manner. I think when you use defense to get away from your opponent, that's only half of the point. I think you also have to use that defense to put you in a better position to provide offense.
Definitely.
And I think that's where Lara kind of missed the boat, I think, with some of the judges, because he was just he really was getting and falling in love with just being missed.
Right. And you know what? I want to capitalize off of that because just after watching the fight a couple of times, I thought that not only could Aruslandi Lara set himself up so that he can make Canelo miss, but I actually, how should I say? I wanted to become in love with Aruslandi actually making him miss and, you know, figuring out exactly how to counter. I think that that would have probably posed for more of an ongoing engaging fight,
right?
I should say, you know, when you make fighters miss, you can do that. I think that's great, but the you know, I just think that, you know, he could have actually stepped in and countered a lot more. I know that what we're saying basically right now is pretty much all theoretics, but that's what I would have liked to see as a fan.
It would have been more thorough. It would have definitely been a man taking what was given to him. I think Laura knew he was the more talented fighter, and I think Ronnie still kind of failed him a bit by just not making him a little bit more offensive. I think there's many points there where he had Canelo missing wildly, and he was just loving the fact that Canelo was missing wildly, where he could have definitely, instead of taking six steps just to circle around the ring, he could have took two,
right,
changed his angle, engaged again, changed his angle, engaged again. I think that's what's made Pacquiao such a viable entity that's taken him to the top.
Exactly.
This is it's something, and it's the only thing I could give to Canelo,
right,
was that he tried to take the fight to Lara.
Right.
Lara was definitely could have sat on his punches a bit, sat there and created some engagement a little bit more. But
right,
overall, I believe I made the right decision.
I saw
Lara being a guy that saw Mayweather's game plan, was going to be able to implement that game plan.
Right.
I didn't know he had the Drake corner that he had that definitely looked like they worked on his defense
right,
a lot. I thought Canelo was actually going to do a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think he would be so outclassed. I thought Lara would be a little bit more ambitious with the opportunity given, but I do think it was a bad decision. I do believe Canelo should give a rematch because I don't think it's something Canelo can walk away from. If this guy wants to be the best, if he wants to take over that throne, once Mayweather and Pacquiao go their ways,
right,
he's gotta shore up these little faults in his armor, these little holes in his defense, the frustration that comes and that shows in his demeanor when he's not able to keep somebody and their lateral movement
right,
from exploiting him so much. He's got quickness, he's got power, he's got smarts, but he showed some of that bulldoggedness in the middle rounds of the fight to get back in there.
Right.
You know, but I think a lot of that also had to do with Lara trying to find another way to break through. He didn't. Lara then circled around and started doing more of what he was doing at the beginning of the fight. I don't think it was, I had Lara winning the fight 8-4.
Yeah, that was,
I could see Lara 7-5.
Yeah.
I could see it a draw. I can't see Canelo winning.
Yeah, I couldn't see Canelo winning either. I could see the, I take that back. I was about to go down a direction that would have actually been a pretty bad direction to go as far as talking about this fight, because I was going to say something, you know, in regards to Levi Martinez, because I thought that, you know, him having the fight, what was it, 117, 111?
Yeah.
That's practically a landslide.
And he gave the 12th round to Lara. So it would, and that's the round that Canelo won.
That's what I thought too.
So
absolutely,
it's almost like he was trying to make his card closer. Well, it's not almost. He made his card closer. If he would have gave that round to Canelo like everybody else did,
right,
he would have had that fight 10-2.
Right, exactly. So then that would have been 118-110.
Oh,
yeah.
So they would have been a little bit more obvious. And I think what we saw after this fight, as many times we hear after fights like this, you know, a lot of people on social media get fired up, but then you got also the boxing pundits, one of those being Teddy Atlas, who felt disgusted. He goes, if we have statisticians all over the place, you know,
right,
if we could get somebody to take a look at these fights,
right,
see whenever there is a split decision, the percentage that goes to the promoter, to promotion fighter,
right,
he goes, it's probably 99.9% of the time it goes to the promoter's fighter, to the point where we as fans already expect it to happen.
Right.
That's why when it doesn't happen, such as a Pacquiao Bradley one, it's so astounding. It's so crazy to think that the other fighter would get that nod in those cases. That it's just taken as how it's done. And when are people going to take a look at that? Do you think boxing needs, so to speak, an instant replay? Like three judges that should watch the fight afterwards to see if any of these
instant replay, basically some kind of a system of checks and balances.
Right.
Yeah, we do. You're absolutely right. I think it's something that should have been implemented. It should have probably started back at some time in the 90s.
Definitely.
And, you know, especially you, I just don't understand. I'm still kind of stuck on the issue with Levi having this fight at 117-11. That just really startles me and kind of frustrates me as far as how could someone actually perceive that type of outcome of the fight.
I don't. If he were to sit down, and I think that would be part of the transparency that could be part of the future of boxing, would be to sit these judges down immediately afterwards and just to hear it.
Right.
It's a subjective.
Definitely.
So
definitely.
To hear these people personally tell what their opinions are and how they came about this would also alleviate a lot of, you know, the gossiping, the rumor mills,
right,
from just catching fire and snowballing into something crazy. But
right.
to hear why these judges thought the way that they thought. I think when I heard the judges talk about how they scored the Bradley Pacquiao one fight, it helped me understand it a little bit more of where they were coming from. I didn't agree with some of what they were saying, but I think hearing that, getting to sit down and talk, maybe even having a Lampley talk with the judges immediately after.
Right.
You know,
right.
just to hear what they're at, because they're, outside of the two boxers, they're the most important people in the whole damn scenario.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
And all we hear from them are their scores.
Yeah, we're talking about people who are actually drafting the future. So, you know, you have to, I think that it would be very much so a very intelligent thing to do, you know, just to have them in, you know, just a quick interview, maybe 5-10 minutes, have them sit down with some of these guys, the other commentators, and just talk about what they saw in the fight, maybe that the other, you know, other boxing fans didn't. I just think that it would help expose and reflect a lot more as far as just the information and what they were looking at. Essentially,
and they're all, you know, and as everybody should know, the judges are not on the same side of the ring. They're each on three different sides,
right?
So different judges have different angles. It's a lot that would plays into it. So just hearing them and what they were doing definitely helped out a lot. This is a definite kind of fight that makes you think those things. It lit up the internet forums. It lit up a lot of social media. You know, a lot of people still aren't buying into Canelo. I still believe Canelo is going to be the next big guy.
I think so too.
He's 23 years old.
Yeah. Right. 24 now.
24 years old. Yeah.
He just turned 24.
24 years old already. Just what, fifth pay-per-view? I think this is his second headliner. And the guy's got nothing but the future ahead of him. You know, I don't think it'll be bad for him to take a loss. I don't think it'll stun his career.
Uh-huh.
And him losing this fight would have probably immediately led to a rematch.
Definitely.
That would have garnered a lot of interest. Yeah. But he might be smart in just going away and finding a new person to fight. I hear Claudio might be on board.
Okay.
I read an article on Claudio. Who do you think Canelo should fight next?
You know, I haven't even taken that step to even think about who Canelo should fight next. I've actually put together a couple of different Arislandi Lara matchups in my head.
Okay.
But I will say that it would be interesting if I saw Canelo actually come out and fight, I believe, Sean Porter.
That would be crazy.
That would be interesting. And then also, we have to also take into consideration that there's Keith Thurman out there too.
I think Keith Thurman he's a big welterweight. I could see him coming up and sitting and having it out.
Definitely. At super welterweight?
Oh.
Yeah, definitely. Without question.
He could add that weight, and I think the power will follow him up there with him.
You know what?
I think Canelo will give him something to think about.
Yeah, you know what I think about a lot of these guys though right now, because pretty much this entire welterweight division is swollen. I mean, I could probably count on my fingers and my toes, and we'll still have boxers that are left. But I think that a lot of the boxers right now, they kind of want to hold off just a little bit, and not actually jump up and wait just yet, because there's the possibility of having that Mayweather lottery.
Right.
That's right.
Danny Garcia.
Oh.
But it's the Mayweather lottery is definitely a valid reason to try to stay in heavyweight. Hey, it's a valid reason for people to drop down. I mean, there's some heavyweights trying to make 147 right now to fight Mayweather.
Hey, Bernard wanted to come down. Bernard actually said, what did Bernard say? He said I was just thinking of, I was talking to my buddy Uban over here, and this was some weeks ago or months ago, but I think that Bernard actually said to Mayweather, hey, if we can go ahead and we can meet at 160, you know, he would be fine with that. Bernard, he's losing at least, what, 15, 20 pounds coming on down, and Mayweather's coming up at about 15, probably anywhere from 13 to 15 pounds.
Let's make it happen, man. Hopkins said.
Oh, man.
That's the promoter at Harden, Hopkins coming out. He's already calling out Kovalev. Mayweather will make you do that. That Mayweather money will make you do crazy things. I thought Canelo would learn a little bit more from his time with Mayweather.
Right.
But it looked like Lara presented the same problems, and Canelo gave the same answers. And it's that kind of arrogance, I think, that he needs to get over. Because if his style isn't the best style, he cannot be so committed to that style. Or he'll look foolish. He looked real foolish a lot of that fight with Lara, you know?
What? And
I don't know if he's got to change trainers, but he should definitely bring somebody in. Somebody that's not a yes person, somebody that can get grimy with him, can tell him what he's doing wrong, and that, but he's going to have to respect him also, so
right,
I think they're going to have to add some new blood in there to elevate his game, because it's obvious that there's still some people out there that can present problems, and if he wants to be on that pedestal, if he wants to take all comers, he's got to have a style that can be flexible.
Yeah, definitely, because, you know, it's not just about... This is about adaptation, you know? So this guy, he has to, he's gonna have to learn to fight boxers that like to move around, like, and not people around, that just want to stay in a pocket with him. You know what I mean?
Present these angles.
He's not just gonna be able to, line up fights with Provodnikovs. You know what I mean?
True
people that like to stay in the pocket. You know, you would actually be very silly to actually just stand there and see if you can trade punches with Canelo. Everybody knows this. This is not rocket science at all whatsoever. But I think that Canelo, I would like to actually see him learn to cut the ring off a little bit better, a little bit more efficiently and faster. And I would also, one thing that I also wanted to see, and this is what I was taking away from the bout with him and Arislandi Lara, was that I wanted to actually see him go to the body, but actually follow that up. Once he went to the body, to go up top. I mean, you can't do that. You can only do that so many times until Arislandi knows, okay, well, hey, you know what? This is what this guy's game plan is. He's going to go to my body, and then he's going to go up top. So you have to mix it up, because you can't make it look so telegraphed where you just have a very legible chess match.
No, and I saw his ability to I saw the beginnings of what could be the skill set of being able to cut off the ring. I saw, and when you want to cut off the ring, you got to be able to commit at that last second to not let them get around you. And that means you might get hit. That means you might have to do a little bobbing. You might have to do a little bit of maneuvering. Right. And it was that last bit where he just didn't commit. He would get to that point where you would want to see somebody at, but then he would just leave the back door open.
Well, let me go ahead and ask you this. What do you think about the 12th round? Because I think that Canelo actually, I think that he actually did a very good job at cutting off the ring in that 12th round. And I think that, I'll just go ahead and I'll pose that, and then I'll let you express.
I think that 12th round was him acting in desperation. I think he knew what was going on and that he had to commit to something. It just took too long for him to figure that out. And definitely, if they were to rematch again, I believe he uses that 12th round as a blueprint as to what he should do for the whole fight. I'm not saying that I'm not saying that he's gonna win that fight if they have a rematch, but right. It's a definite blueprint on how he could come at Lara. I think Lara had some stinging punches.
Right.
I saw Canelo's head snap back a bunch of times.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But he never lost motivation.
No.
He stayed ambitious. And I give it to the kid for that. I give it to the kid for looking like he's doing the right thing, taking all comers. Lara not called him out. Canelo took him on. Lara can bitch all he wants. It's true that I'm with Lara on this.
Right.
But you had the opportunity there. A lot of times that's why they say don't leave it to the judges, because you exactly. might not respect what they say.
Right. Exactly.
So maybe Lara's in the Mayweather sweepstakes.
Yeah, and you know what? That was one of the matchups that I had in the back of my head.
Yes.
And that was, hey, you know what? What are we looking at? We're looking at super welterweight, so all you have to do is come down probably, what, another 5-6 pounds, seven pounds maybe?
This was a catchweight 155 he fought with Canelo.
Okay.
So Lara could definitely make 150.
Right.
Just like Mayweather made Canelo come to 150, I can see Lara coming to 150. I would love to see that fight.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that would be a beautiful chess match.
It would.
Yeah, there's just not enough fighters that could give Mayweather the fight that Lara could give him, and it would be a treat
right.
to see that. I don't think we see it, but it would definitely be one of those fights I would love to sit down and just break down and watch, because it would be the sweet science on full display. Yeah. Lara definitely a practitioner of that.
Type. We're talking about. You know, this is what we do all day over here at Cypher Boxing, is we talk about the sweet science. We talk about guys who, we talk about the science to the point where we're not just talking about seconds in the ring. We're talking about tens of seconds. We're talking about hundreds of seconds. It comes all the way down to hundreds and thousands of seconds when we talk about fighters and timing and slickness and all the various aspects of boxing.
True, we speed. Discuss variables.
Yeah, we have to.
We have to be aware of variables, but there's no one better at being aware of variables other than the man, Floyd Mayweather Jr. We got some audio from him talking about the gloves that Madonna's might be wearing.
It's been
wow.
pretty draining, but you know, it comes with the territory. Would you say the best city's been so far? I'm not really sure. You know, every city that we have went to have been crazy, but it's crazy that we were able to go to Washington, D.C. and hold a press conference at 12 a.m. and it still be packed. So that right there shows that boxing is still alive and boxing has loyal fans.
Now, we saw you yesterday riding roller coasters and stuff like that. Do you have any plans to do anything out in Los Angeles?
I'm really not sure. You know, actually, I started training yesterday, last night, after the ESPYs. No more partying, no more clubbing. It's time to get focused on my job, which is boxing.
Now, congratulations on the ESPY. How'd that feel for you?
It feels great. And, you know, just to be nominated in another category, as far as Athlete of the Year, being the first boxer to be nominated as one of the Athletes of the Year, it was amazing.
Now I got to ask you, you're the king of selling fights. This issue with the boxing gloves, is this another angle, another way to promote the fight, bring some controversy around it?
I can't really focus on the gloves at this particular time. I'm pretty sure both fighters will be protected because we both have careers after boxing, which is very important.
All right, and it's Marcos Maidana's birthday today. Do you have a message for him? You getting him anything for his birthday?
No, you know, I wish him nothing but the best. You know, happy birthday to Maidana. Wishing him many more. You know, the fans demanded the rematch. I feel that the bar is set so high for Floyd Mayweather. People are used to seeing me going out there winning 12 rounds or winning 11 rounds. Or knocking the guy out, or just, like I said before, the bar is set so high for Floyd Mayweather, so finally you get a guy that's, you know, kind of dirty, where he can kind of get the crowd into it, and it's kind of wild. A guy who, and I can give him 3 rounds, he won 3 rounds out of 12 rounds, you know, everyone's saying, you know, we want to see the fight again, so I always want to get a fan that they want to see.
Is he a very popular fighter? He's dirty?
A very, very dirty fighter, you know, low blows all night. But, you know, like I said, the referee, he done his job. You know, the referee's only human. And he can have a bad night. We all can have a bad night. But September 13th, I'm going to go out there and beat Floyd Mayweather.
What will be the key to win this fight?
Well, I think that I don't really have to change up my game plan. I think he has to change up his game plan. I think my job is just to listen to my father, be smart, and be first.
Floyd, what is your opinion about the gloves and everything?
This is not a bare-knuckle brawl. This is not a street fight. This is boxing. This is a sport. Even though it's a brutal sport, it's about being on an even playing field.
The preparation is going to be the same, the preparation for you?
I'm going to push myself a little bit harder this training camp. Work a little bit harder and a lot more rest.
What made people's head snap around? You've only had one rematch in your career. That was 12 years ago. And this is amazing when you gave this rematch. Really, as a great businessman, what decided it for you?
Like I said before, the fans wanted to see the fight again. And without the fans and everyone from around the world supporting me, I wouldn't be where I'm at. So I have to get the fans what they want to see. Thank you. You know, I just want to commend and take my hat off to everybody, to all the athletes that was at the ESPY Awards yesterday. I want to take my hat off and say thank you to all the fans that voted. Yesterday, I didn't get Athlete of the Year. Kevin Durant won Athlete of the Year, and I'm very, very proud of Kevin Durant. He's a hell of a basketball player.
All right, now, you rarely give rematches. You chose Marco Maidana for
a
rematch.
Well, you cannot say rarely. I only fought one rematch, so you can say rarely.
Well, because it rarely happens. Well, it hardly ever happens. Now, you chose Marco Maidana for the rematch. Is there a reason why you chose him for a rematch? Do you think you need to prove something to the fans or to the critics?
You know, the fans, you know, it's self-preservation. Of course, I come first, but without the fans supporting all the social outlets, I wouldn't be where I'm at. So I have to get the fans, you know, Mayweather versus Maidana Part 2 Mayhem.
Perfect. And now when Schaefer left Golden Boy, it was said that you weren't going to work with Golden Boy anymore. We see this fight happening again. Is it something that you're going to keep working with Oscar, or is this the last fight you think?
Richard Schaefer's a great guy. I have nothing negative to say about Richard Schaefer. Oscar and Richard Schaefer business is amongst the two. My job is to focus on Maidana. It don't matter if it's what's behind us. I mean, as far as companies, we have to go out there and do our job as fighters and entertain the people. That's what's important.
Yeah, that's what's important. Floyd Mayweather Jr. giving some press time on the build-up to the big fight with Maidana in September. He's given Maidana the rematch because so many people thought that it was a competitive fight. Right. I don't think the majority of people thought Mayweather lost, but it was the closest that they have seen Mayweather come to a loss since he has been in the ring.
Right.
Maidana, in my opinion, will always present Floyd Mayweather Jr. with problems. It's just the kind of fighter that he is. I believe Floyd Mayweather is the greatest defensive fighter of all time. I believe that he has been set up to be the best by his father, by his uncles. I think his training does a lot to do with that. I think his training sets him up to deal with orthodox fighters, though. Right. Punches coming from angles that are expected. Technique and fundamentals. And all of that is thrown out the window when you talk about Maidana. All of it. And so you're talking about a guy who's bringing variables and formulas and questions that make absolutely no sense to somebody that is a wizard in the ring.
Right.
But when presented with those problems, he found an answer to, as he always does, Floyd Mayweather Jr. But definitely a man that wants to do it again with the guy from Argentina, the brawler also by the name of Chino. How do you think this fight's gonna pan out, man? Do you see anything different in this fight than the last fight?
A little bit. Yes, I do. Well, you know, one thing is that just because Floyd Mayweather has been able to fight him already once before, he already has a certain level of expectation of what's coming to him.
Right.
So from there, he should be able to plot and plan a little bit more.
He should be, as many people, as a Mayweather fan my whole life, I at first when I heard this, I was like, it's going to be 11-1.
Now that doesn't mean that you can actually take away from any of the X variables that Maidana actually will end up trying to pose.
And there you go.
And now that is a situation that you have to think about, because it's not only going to be the logic and the fundamentals that come together, but Mayweather is going to have to end up being extremely intuitive to call the shots before they actually happen.
Maidana got close a bunch of fucking times against Mayweather, but as many people find out, what looks easy ain't so easy.
Right.
Mayweather, though, in my opinion, I believe he will win again, but I believe he will go through these rough pockets. I don't think a fight with Maidana is ever the same two times in a row. He's so crazy. Right. Unorthodox is being very kind to him. He's unorganized. he appears to be learning these things on the fly, but that's the thing. When you watch the fight game, when you come up in boxing, you learn that will usually overcome skill.
Right. Now, you know, I got a quick question for you right here. Sure. Do you think that it would actually be advantageous for Mayweather to actually watch a little bit of the fight tape just this time around?
Yes. Always. I always feel that it'll help him. I don't think Mayweather, it's not something Mayweather does,
right?
But I don't see how it can't help somebody with the mastery of the game that he is.
Exactly.
And being able to see that, to be able to see his own mistakes,
right?
I don't see how it hurts. I would say it would be imperative for him to watch the tape,
right?
To avoid, because Maidana's not somebody he's seen ever before. He's fought him,
right?
But it's only 12 rounds. He could remember those 12 rounds, or, you know, as much as he could chisel it into his memory banks, but that's one guy you got to be wary of. He throws punches north-south. Yeah. Maidana's crazy.
East-west. Actually, you know what that guy does? He actually makes up new directions of punches. That's the thing. There's no more north-south, east-west with that guy.
He is almost set up to hit you in the back of the head every time.
Well...
You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think against Mayweather, Robert Garcia, who is a very big fan of Mayweather, the Garcia family themselves, much like the younger brothers to the Mayweather clan, in that they're doing the same thing that the Mayweather clan did about 20 years after the Mayweather clan did. So they learned a lot from that family. They love Mayweather. They knew about him. And you can tell by the way Maidana fought and how well prepared he was for the fight, how much they respected the challenge facing them.
Right.
And I think Garcia definitely was working on that. He knew Mayweather wasn't going to give anything up on the front, so they were just going to take what was left over, and that's the back of his head. I think a lot of Maidana's punches were going for that part, the soft part on the back of the head.
Right.
I think it's they're taking what they can get. You saw the headbutts in there. You saw the knees to the groin that Maidana tried. He's trying to do, if the referee's going to give it to him, he's going to take it.
Hey, yeah, you know what I mean.
That's advantageous. And that's something that I would recommend to anybody fighting somebody that's way better than you. You do what you gotta do.
You better, because you gotta make this, you have to make this dirty. To make this dirty. Here's the thing. Maidana knows, I believe that Maidana actually knows intrinsically that Mayweather's a better fighter than him.
Oh, yeah.
So, so that's already done. We know that. So, as far as a level of insecurity, there is some level of insecurity there. So, he knows that, hey, you know what? If I can go ahead and I can sneak a brick inside of a boxing glove, or if I can sneak a razor blade inside of my shorts, then that's what I need to do.
And that's what
fight.
And that was definitely on full display when he almost did the knee to the groin. Now, I had seen a knee attempt in boxing in many, many, many years, but he was committed to landing that knee, and it was Floyd Mayweather's otherworldly skill that saw the knee coming, because as a fighter, you only look for hands, and it shows the level that Maidana's willing to go to get what he believes. I don't think Maidana has ever been the most skilled in any gym he's ever fought at.
Right.
He's just been the guy that's not going to lose. He's not going to take a loss. He's not going to take a defeat. When he did get his ass waxed up and down by Devon Alexander, I think that's why he was thinking about retirement, because he was thoroughly outclassed. It was one of those things that takes what you believe was your future away from you, because you can no longer see yourself doing those things if you're going to take those types of losses.
Right.
It's what led him to Robert Garcia. It's what led him to a renaissance in his career. I think his first fight against Mayweather gave him an extra added edge to the way he went about training for Mayweather. I think he's going to follow those same techniques this time, and I believe they're going to, I think it might be a closer fight.
It could possibly be.
I think we're getting to that point as far as a population,
mm-hmm.
where the tide might be turning as far as a public opinion on Floyd Mayweather, as him want, people wanting him to lose so bad,
right,
that it might start affecting the judges that play a role into this.
Mm.
You know, I think when you saw that split decision or the majority decision for Mayweather,
right,
I think you saw a little bit of that. And then there was a majority decision the one before that with Canelo. So I think you're seeing just in the judges' card, they're looking for anything,
right?
Anything to keep give Mayweather that first loss,
right?
And so I think there's that tie. So I think Mayweather's got to watch out, man. I think Mayweather has a better chance of knocking Maidana out than going to the judges' scorecards. I think if it makes it to the judges' scorecards again, I don't think it's going to be very kind to him. I think we're going to be shocked at some of the scores. I think he's going to be working for a knockout. I think he was trying to do that in the first fight, but I don't think he gave Maidana enough credit that he would be able to take the punches. I think Floyd's going to be a lot. He's going to let his hands go a lot more as far as that lead right.
Right.
I think he's gonna massacre him. If a massacre is gonna occur, I believe it's gonna be with that lead right.
Oh yeah, yeah,
making
yeah.
the battle cry.
Yeah, yeah, definitely lead right. And I think that what Mayweather has to do is he has to stay off of the ropes too.
Oh yeah.
Because you know what Maidana, he's gonna push him and he's gonna bull him.
Yeah.
He's gonna bull him right into the ropes.
And
he's gonna go for an overhand right. I mean that's what I saw a lot of.
He's gonna stab him.
Right.
He's gonna bite him. He's gonna shoulder him. He's gonna do. And when he's in there, all of the beautiful defense that Floyd gives ain't gonna matter, because people are probably gonna be giving points. The judges are probably gonna just be giving points to Maidana as they did in the first fight by keeping Mayweather there.
Right.
So it's doing no favors to Mayweather to stay on the ropes. He's gotta keep it fluid. He's gotta keep it lateral. He's gotta keep it moving.
Right.
You know that his movement in the fight against Guerrero. Hopefully we'll see that in this fight.
Right.
And I believe we're gonna see a frustrated Maidana eventually get put down.
Right.
Yeah? He's gonna get knocked down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can actually see that.
I think Floyd Mayweather is going to convince him that a defeat before the 12th round is probably what's best.
Hmm.
And I don't think it makes it to the cards. I think Floyd Mayweather comes out. I think he puts this away. Takes care of it, because Maidana was dirty as fuck, bro. You know what I mean? I know Mayweather's trying to get back at him. Well, he's like, dude, fuck this guy.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, Mayweather is definitely going to have to be a little bit more. He's going to have to be more active with his hands if that's what he's looking for. If you can perceive him with having a knockout,
I can.
You know, the thing about Maidana is, he's such a wild and aggressive fighter. The way that you knock Maidana out is by surprise.
Yeah.
That's what it is. So you know what? It has to be something that he can't even perceive coming. He can't see coming. So if he throws that lead right hand, you know what it may even be. I mean, this is all, of course, speculation and theoretics and stuff. But, you know, maybe a right hand to the matter of fact, I'll go ahead and I'll actually change this in mid-expression. And that would be the same punch or a similar punch that Maidana actually threw and knocked down Adrian Broner first time. It has to be something that's surprising like that. You know, you think, and that was one of the reasons why Adrian got floored on that first punch, was because he thought he was going to the body.
Right.
He left the face open, and Maidana came with the overhand left.
My best guess at what that punch is going to be is a check hook.
Check
that's up. What yeah. I thought he was, that's what he caught Haddon with
yeah.
when Haddon was coming in. I believe, you know, Robert Garcia definitely trained Maidana not to fall for that, not to lead yeah. his head as much, or just to keep his chin in a bit.
Right.
But Mayweather will find that little inkling. I like the check hook, or like you were saying, follow up that lead right with something else, because usually he just throws the lead right as a bomb and
right.
then just circles out from it. He follows that up with something.
He follows it up, because usually
he's
so precise with it and he's so accurate.
He uses
that can actually be, that can be the, it can be the dazer, it can be the taser, and it can be the phaser. Alright, so you go ahead and you throw that right and follow it up with a left, like you said, with a left hook. We're looking at something. Even if he throws that right and he follows it up with a left hook, maybe even a left uppercut.
Or even a right to the body, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It would definitely be something he McDonald's not looking at.
Yeah, he's not gonna see.
So that falls into what you were saying.
Yeah.
I think we just saw the fight. and I hope it plays out the way we saw it. I think it'll be an exciting fight. I think McDonough might catch and buzz Mayweather. I think that would get me very excited if that happened, because you know Mayweather turns into a whole other beast when he gets hurt. So I'm looking forward to that fight, but another 5 minutes we got. I just wanted to jump in real quick and get the next biggest fight that was just announced.
Ooh, yeah.
And that's Manny Pacman Pacquiao fighting Chris Algieri, former medical student, former fitness instructor,
former kickboxer,
former nutritionist, now boxer, now champion at 140. He took the belt away from Ruslan Provodnikov with one eye. The man showed his grit, showed his determination, showed his movement, his ability to be able to be in there with a big-time brawler, and showed his skills to be not lacking.
Right. Elusive, very elusive.
Very elusive. And he's the lucky winner of the Pacquiao lottery. It's looking like he's going to make $2.5 million. This is two fights after he made $15,000. That means it was like 36 minutes ago, as far as his work is concerned.
Exactly.
He was making a lot less money.
Right, right.
And that shows what can happen in one big fight. And when Bob Arum runs out of all the other fighters to match up with Pacquiao. What do you feel? Are you as up in arms as many people are of this new opponent in Pacquiao?
Yeah, I am. I don't think Chris Algieri is ready just yet. I think that was one hell of a fight.
That was a hell of a fight.
Versus Provodnikov.
And you know what? Closed down.
Yeah.
Second round, he fought that whole fight with one eye. And the bruise. So one eye was gone.
Right.
And it was throbbing.
Yeah.
He was not looking good, dude.
But you know what? I definitely have to take my hat off to him, because the way he came back was just, I mean, it was so professional. This guy was
class.
It was so classy, and he used so much spatial intelligence, you know, thereafter. Now, speaking of spatial intelligence, you're dealing with Manny Pacquiao. Now, Pac-Man, the ghost eater, okay? Now, this guy, we're talking about a guy who's a professor in spatial intelligence and timing. So, you know, you really have to be on your...
It's going to be like Dancing with the Stars in there with those two guys fighting. It's going to be a fluid matchup.
Oh,
we're
going to
see every inch of that ring used and maybe every round of that fight.
Okay, man, so who's playing chess and who's playing checkers? Who do you have on that?
Look. Pacquiao's got to get in. I don't think Pacquiao's met a guy with these kind of skill sets. You're talking about height, a reach of 72 inches. He's 5'10". You know what I mean? He's a nutritionist, so him moving up a level is not going to be hard for him. I think he's gonna be a beast looking 147. I think Pacquiao uses his movement, gets in there, causes immediate damage on the inside. I think he knows the eyes best, so they're going to be focused in on the face. But Pacquiao's got to cut. He's got to cut that distance quick,
right?
And then create angles when he's on the inside. I think Algieri's going to be at advantage only when he's at an arm's length. Anything less than that, and Pacquiao's going to be eating him up. But Algieri's shown he's got the fluidity, he's got the movement to keep a brawler walker like Provodnikov off.
Right.
But it's a whole nother beast.
We're talking Pacquiao. About an entirely different game Provodnikov, he can be set, and you know exactly where he's going to be when you make your counter. When you counterattack Provodnikov, okay, well, you know that he's going to be 2 feet in, 2 feet out, or what have you. The thing with Pacquiao is constantly moving. You're dealing with a moving train that can easily run circles. A caboose that can run circles around
him. He injured Bradley with his movement. That says everything. He injured the other boxers because they tried to keep up with
him. You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of Allen Iverson crossing over Michael Jordan.
Oh, see? That's why I stay in the post. I get the rebounds. I don't guard you outside of the key. You know what I mean? Because I do not have the skills to move with you out there.
Right.
So he's got to keep it in the comfort zone. And I believe Pacquiao, who is a legend at this point, who's done that, been there, done that, under the bright lights, in front of everybody. It's going to be in Macau, near his hometown. So he's going to have a lot of things working in his favor.
Right.
I believe Pacquiao pulls it out, but I think Pacquiao's gonna have to do it in dramatic fashion or in knockout fashion.
What do you think Chris Algieri actually has to do to level up his boxing IQ? What do you think that he needs to do? I mean, we're talking about something that
he needs to pull a Rocky and chase chickens, man. For the next six, something that cannot be caught.
If he's chasing chickens like Rocky, then he better take a page out of Roy Jones' book as well.
That's right. Then it would be to his advantage to talk to as many people as possible.
Right.
To get as many people involved in his training camp as possible. This is a totally different beast. And you're not going to be presented with these opportunities all the time, you know. And who knows if he's, maybe he thought he thinks he won already. He did, you know. He signed the contract. He's gonna make $1 million, at least $1 million. He's gonna be a very rich man. He's gonna be in the mouths of a bunch of different people. He's also a guy that's from Argentina, so he can make this happen, dude. He could get something behind him, and if he gets his country behind him and he gets the minds of that country behind him, he's got a chance.
Yeah.
And that's it. And that's boxing in the last 2 weeks, ladies and gentlemen.
That's boxing. Hey, you know what?
For boxing.
You better catch us on Facebook and Twitter.
Get the face. Go on the Facebook
and Instagram.
Instagram it. Twitter it up. Do the damn thing.
K-Chung Radio, period. Just everybody at K-Chung Radio.
We'll be rocking at Chaos Reigns next week in Chinatown. We'll be all over the place.
Right.
But if you can't wait, you find us. Because every other Sunday, we'll find you right here on K-Chung Radio, 1630 AM. Cypher Boxing. Obi, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, Lou.
All right, y'all.
Peace.